Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today, well, you know, I have to say our last message was about gratitude and thanksgiving. And, you know, I'm so grateful to be able to have Tom Campbell with me every month. It's such a blessing for me because I always get to learn something new and we get to share some great information. And, you know, I'm just really, really thankful for you. And I know we're coming into your Thanksgiving weekend. Hopefully this will be up, you know, on Thanksgiving or Friday for sure. So anyway, I just want to say, you know, how grateful I am, you know, to have you on my show, whether it's once a month or every couple, but we have been doing pretty consistently this year. So I'm very grateful. Thank you, Tom.
You're quite welcome. That's very sweet of you to say. I enjoy the opportunity to spend some time with you and chat. Perhaps we'll say something between the two of us. Maybe we'll say something important to some of your listeners today.
Absolutely. So I never know. I wrote a blog this month and it just came out today. It's on making a Christmas wish. You know, we're coming into the holidays, definitely from, you know, this week forward, everybody's sort of thinking about the holidays. We talked a lot about, you know, how to deal with family people in our last show. So I think that was a really fun, I think that was a great show on, you know, just some of the things that go wrong. And we certainly got a lot of positive feedback on it. So I thought we do talk about, you know, the magic of the season and how at this time of the year, there's just so much more energy around giving and love. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about creating a wish. And from my perspective, there's a few guidelines. One, you don't want to interfere with anybody's free will. Two, it's about giving, not receiving. Letting it come from a place of compassion and your heart instead of greed. And allowing it to come from within you instead of outside of you. So it's not about, you know, the bigger house or the better car or all the things that we look for outside ourselves. It's really something within us. And then if you had that wish, whatever that wish is, see, this is the problem. Lots of people around this time of year, they think about money. Oh, if I only had $1 million, how that would save everything. And it's not wrong to wish for freedom or, you know, something that brings you more comfort, feeling more supportive. But it's not actually the money that does that. It's how you feel. So the last thing that I always talk about is, you know, how will that wish coming true make you feel? So if you think, if you're only thinking about, you know, the problems, which is what we usually do when we say, I want money, instead of, you know, focusing on needing the money, which is about lack and it's about fear, focus on what that money would do for you instead of the fear and the lack. So with that, let's play with this a little bit. So everyone has free will. We certainly don't want to interfere on people's free will. We seem to co-create a lot because there's lots of people around us. So I don't know. Let's play with these and you tell me where you would go with that.
Well, there's a couple of places I would go with that. One is we should maybe have just started by saying, all right, listening audience, make a wish.
Ah, I like it.
Yeah, just make a wish. And, well, you know, we're getting close to Christmas, getting to Thanksgiving, and, you know, what would you wish for? And just give them a moment to see what they would wish for. And then let's tell them about the things they, need to be concerned about with this wish and see what it is they really wished for. And then we could say that if your wish was something about other rather than about self, all right, that's good. If your wish, you know, was, you know, did not run over anybody else's free will, but was something that would be good for all, well, that's good. And we can go through all of the things you said, you know, because those are the things that a good wish, a wish that comes from the heart, a wish that is about other, a wish that is not negative, but positive, something that would do good in the world if it were to come true, you know, that would be the kind of wish that we all should have. But that's generally not the wishes that most of us have, like you say. You know, I said, if I had a wish, you know, most people would wish for money, or they would wish that, you know, their husband or their wife would be this way or that way, and that their children would, you know, act better or would do better in school or whatever. You know, they'd wish for all kinds of things about how to fix other people, how other people, you know, should do better, about how, you know, things that they would want. You know, money's one of them, but it may be a lot of other things that they would wish for, maybe a new car, maybe a, you know, new relationship. Okay. Who knows what people would wish for, but I'm afraid that if we just started the program with asking somebody, well, all right, we have a genie here in this bottle today, and we're going to give you a wish. Just make a wish. What would you wish for? My guess is most people's mind would first run down the list of I wants and I needs, and before they really considered, you know, the value that they could present to the, you know, to the world or to other people by making a wish. So maybe that would have been a start, but that's not how we started. But I think people can think that, you know, what would you do if you just had a wish? What would you think? You know, what would you ask for? A new car, you know, a full bank account, you know, children that are all making straight A's, a mother-in-law that loves you, you know, a spouse that does all the things you'd like and is all the ways you'd like them to be. I think all of those would all be centered about you and your needs and your wants and your likes. And then that's the problem, because if we are concerned with our wants and needs and likes, then we are going to go through life struggling. Our life is going to be one of constant struggle. If only I had this, if only I could get that, you know, things would be good. But you'll never get all of this and that together. It just doesn't work that way. And if you do, there'll be some other this or that will be the problem. As soon as one problem disappears, another will be created to take its place. And life will be a constant struggle. And most people, if they just think back in the last 10 years or so, and they think, well, what are all the big problems I had 10 years ago? And probably some of them at least have gone away, but no doubt new ones have taken their places. And if you think about your history, you'll realize that's true. Life is always a struggle. You can't seem to get the significant other to be just the way you want. The kids don't do just what you want. The mother-in-law is always fussing. You know, all these things are going on. You don't have enough money to pay your bills. You'd really like a boat to go fishing with. You'd like this. You'd like that. You know, my life would be more fun if I had a, you know, whatever it is you want. You know, maybe you want a new car, or maybe you want some kind of places you can get in and take your home with you, you know, so you could drive around and do things. Motorhome. People have all sorts of wishes. If I just had that, life would be good. It just doesn't work. If you had all that, life wouldn't be much different than it is now. You just have all that stuff. But your life would be about the same, because a happy life isn't made with stuff. A happy life is made with quality of being, quality of attitudes, quality of your wishes. You know, it's quality that makes the difference. And no, you don't have to have all the people around you have the quality. You know, that's not what will make your life good. If everybody else suddenly straightened up and flew right, you know, from your viewpoint, that really wouldn't help. As soon as they did that, there'd be other things you need them to do. And if they did that, there'd be other things you need them to do. It's just the nature of the way change is. If you have a, you know, if you have a lot of negativity in your mind, in your soul, in your system, then negative things are going to happen. And when you look out at that world, you will see negative things. Even if that world is full of positive things, you will see negative things because you have a negative attitude. That's why you can't ever get away from it, because you're creating it yourself. You're projecting it. That's the problem. So, yes, we have lots of wishes. And just thinking about what would I wish if I had, you know, this wish that I could have what I want. And very few people would say, you know, world peace or a happy family, or, you know, that, you know, we and our family would all get along really, really well, all love each other unconditionally. You know, most people would not wish for that. They would wish for things and stuff. And if they wished, if their wish was other-centered, it must mostly be self-centered, other-centered, which means I wish others would stop annoying me, you know, and you say, well, that's other-centered. It's all about others. I want them to stop annoying me. But no, that's not about others. That's really about you and your negativity that makes you annoyed with people. So it's not other-centered. So anyway, yeah, it's, you know, it's an interesting question about what would you wish. You know, it's always more fun and a lot more productive to wallow around in gratitude rather than wallow around in self-pity. You know, if it's woe is me and things aren't right and I don't have this and I don't have that and people aren't nice to me and, you know, and the mother-in-law is always complaining and my wife is always fussing because I won't pick up my dirty socks, and, you know, on and on and on. And you can justify why you're doing the right thing in all of those things and why other people are the problem. That is waddling around in self-pity. Try thinking, like you said, about what you do have. What do you have? You know, unless you are tired, cold, wet, and hungry, then you do have some things that are good. Because you do have the basic things. You're probably not hungry, or you won't stay hungry long, and you're probably not wet or cold, or if you are, you won't stay that way for long. There's a lot of things that you have. You have people to share your life with. You probably have a job that at least pays most of the bills most of the time. There's a lot of good things. You have people that care about you, people that depend on you. So all these things are wonderful things to have in your life. Most of us in Canada and in America and in Europe, we don't realize how much we are graced with opportunity, with a good life. Many people in the world don't live like we do, don't have those opportunities to do the things we can do. But I bet they're not any more unhappy than we are. It's not the stuff that makes you happy. We've got lots of stuff. We all need more, right? We all need more stuff. You know, more stuff would be terrific. But that's not what makes you happy. That's not what really matters. What matters is the quality of you, not so much the quality of others, but the quality of you. Because if your quality is high, others will start to react to you differently. Others will start to treat you differently. Others will actually be able to grow themselves up just because you're grown up. Because when you're grown up, you stop challenging them in a negative way. You stop belittling them. You stop trying to manipulate them. And when you stop doing all that stuff to them, then they don't have to be so defensive. It gives them the space to grow up in. So just growing yourself up will help all those other people grow up as well. And if they don't, well, that's okay. That's just the way they are, struggling with their lives, doing the best they can. And that's all right. You can just kind of let that be and share your, you know, share some compassion with them that they're struggling. Try to be helpful. Don't try to tell them how to do it right. That's not helpful. So, yeah, I like that. Wallowing in gratitude. That's a, I like that idea. You know, if you're going to sit around and wallow in your feelings, then wallow in gratitude about all the things you have, all the opportunities that you have. Yeah. And we have so much, you know, Thanksgiving, this is the time, right? We're right on the cusp of Thanksgiving here in a couple of days. And, oh, yes, you in Canada don't do Thanksgiving, do you? You go around and punch each other on Boxing Day.
No, we yeah, we have Boxing Day off. But our Canada, our Thanksgiving is actually in October. Yeah, I don't know why it's so different. It's like 6 weeks difference. Something, yeah, more to somewhere someone decided that, I don't know, I don't think it's the first Monday in October, the first full Monday in October that something to do with cropping crops, and maybe it's colder in Canada than the U.S. and that's when we're supposed to, you know, bring in our crops. But we don't usually, well, here we don't get frost, but certainly in other areas of Canada, they get frost very early. I think some people even had snow in August. So.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Yes. No. Thankfully not here. Yeah. But yes.
No.
I think, okay, so let's look at wishes for others. So let's look at world peace. We won't ever be able to have world peace unless it comes from within first. Which,
right.
Which brings us back to, is this, you know, I think we all want to be happy within. I think we all want peace and joy and gratitude. It's just, it's the getting there. It's the fact that we think, you know, changing somebody or getting something new is going to bring us that happiness, gratitude. All the things that we think, you know, we're just a little skewed on how we interpret and perceive what we want, what we wish for, what's, it's, yeah, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, you know, while you were talking, I just thought of a wish that would be about self, that would be a really good wish. I wish to get rid of all of my fears. That would be a good, that maybe would be the good wish. I wish to grow up. You know, I wish to have a high quality of consciousness. But we know wishing for it doesn't do any good at all. So unless you're actually going to do something about it, you might as well save your breath, because wishing isn't going to be very effective. But if somebody granted you a wish with their genie, then that might be a good wish. But I'm not sure that that's something the genie would be able to do. You know, the genies can give you things and take you places, but can they actually change who you are and the way you see the world and the way you feel?
I think that's what gurus believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure genies can do that. That would be tough. I think the only person that can change you is you.
Right. Yeah. And the only way to change the world is by changing you.
That's right. Right. And the change we're talking about is fundamental, basic change, not just behavior. If you change yourself fundamentally so you're a different person, then the behavior will follow. You'll act better as well. But it's possible just to act better but not really change yourself. And that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about behavior. We're talking about being. It's just who you are at the core. So it's different than behavior.
Okay. So let's say we want peace within. Obviously, we need to look at our fears. But what... And if we go by what I was talking about, peace definitely comes more from giving than it does from receiving. It definitely is something that comes from the compassion of our heart. It's certainly something inside us versus outside us, but how would that make us feel? I mean, I think sometimes that might even be part of the problem, is that we don't even know what peace might feel like.
Well, peace of mind and just feeling peaceful comes from accepting everything the way it is. If you're not at peace when you see things out there that aren't the way you want them, and that bothers you, now you're bothered. Things aren't right. Things aren't the way they should be. People aren't nice to each other. That's not the way they should be. And if that upsets you, then you can't find peace. And then you come to the conclusion that when all the rest of the world is really, got its act together, and they're all nice to each other and they're all care about each other, then I'll find peace. Well, that again is saying it's other people that need to change to give you the peace. And if you're waiting for that peace, you should not expect it to come anytime soon. Because if everybody feels that way and everybody's waiting for everybody else to solve the problem, well, the problem will never be solved. So if you look out at the world and you just accept it, that doesn't mean you necessarily like it or think it's the way it ought to be, but it is just the way it is. And for the most part, everybody's doing the best they can with what they came in with what they got. The quality that they've got to this point, they're doing about the best they can with it. And if you see that and just accept it, then all of those things that you don't like out there, most of them just disappear. You see, it's the, I don't like this, I don't like that, back to the, it's not the way I want it, is the problem that makes peace unreachable. All we have to do is just accept the world is and people are the way they are. Okay. Now, how am I going to deal with those people and that world positively? With a smile, with caring, and not wear a smile on my face that's, forced, but really happy. How can I do that? Well, make yourself part of the solution and stop being part of the problem. And if you're part of the solution, then being positive, just being positive and let everything be the way it is a place to start. Now, if you see that there's dysfunction in the world, number one, the biggest contribution is change yourself. But you can also talk to other people, help educate other people, so other people become aware of problems and become aware of potential solutions. So educate, write letters to the editor, do the things that you can do to help forward ideas of caring and ideas of love, those sorts of things. That's good. So you don't have to just watch dysfunction and, when I say accept it, that doesn't mean, oh, it's okay. It ought to be that way. No, it shouldn't be that way. We don't, it's not a good way to be, but it is the way it is. So live gracefully with that knowledge. Live at peace with the fact that it is that way. And you're going to help make it better by growing yourself up. And maybe through education or talking to others or, sending money to people that you think are doing good things, whatever it is you want to do, however you contribute, then do that. But the biggest thing you can do is to get rid of the negativity in yourself. So when people look out at a nasty world that is full of dysfunction and they get angry at those politicians, they get angry at those, corporations that are, charging us more and giving us less. They get angry at this sort of thing. Their anger becomes part of the problem. That's not helping things. So you need to look at that dysfunction and say, well, that's unfortunate, but it's the way we are now. How are we going to change? Well, number one, I need to change myself. I need to not get angry. I need to be positive. I need to deal with all that dysfunction, because you may have to, your boss may be dysfunctional. Your family may be dysfunctional. Your coworkers may be dysfunctional, and you have to deal with them because that's where you work. That's the family you live with. That's the boss you have. Then how are you going to deal with all of that without being upset, without being angry? How can you accept it and be positive? As soon as you're positive, you'll find a lot of the dysfunction will get better. Even if your boss is dysfunctional or your coworkers are, they will have more respect for you. They may still be dysfunctional with each other, but they'll kind of cut you more slack because you're not part of that dysfunctional interaction anymore. You're not in that give and take of schemes and, you know, backbiting and manipulation and all that. You withdraw from all of that. And then everybody will treat you better. Like, your life will get better. The dysfunction is not as hard as it was when you were feeding it with your own anger and your own upset and your own demand that it not be that way, your own complaining, you see. So you stop complaining and you start changing yourself in a way that everything will get better. And when you're positive like that, that's when the new job offer comes in. That's when, you know, things begin to happen positively for you, is when you have a positive attitude. As long as your attitude is negative, then negative things happen for you, because that's what you're feeding into the system. You're feeding negativity. You're feeding, wallowing around in self-pity. You know, you're feeding that, which creates negative things in your life and in your environment and in other people. That's that intent that you have modifies future probability. So once you get that positive attitude where you accept things and work with them the best you can in a positive way and don't have any negative feelings about it, then positive things start happening to you. So it's such a simple idea. It's just so hard to do for most people. They just have this reflex. If things aren't the way they want them, then they're upset about that. And they complain about it.
And
they get angry and they get upset about it. And all of that just makes it worse. It feeds it. It feeds the dysfunction, because you're dysfunctional too. You're just another dysfunctional player, you know, wallowing in dysfunction, you know, with a bunch of other people. And
but that believe that we're in a right place.
Oh, yes, we're right and all these people are wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just not doing what they should do. If they just do this and this and the other, everything would be just fine. Of course, all the people in that circle feel the same way. That if everybody would just do it the way, you know, they would like it done, everything would be fine. Every one of them feels exactly like that. And that's not going to happen. People have difference of opinions and different ways of looking at things and live in different realities. And you have to let people be and realize that it's better to be happy than it is to be right. You know, we have this in relationships where we'll look at a spouse or look at our children or somebody and we'll say, well, that's just wrong. You know, they shouldn't do that. I know what's right. And because you know what's right, then you tend to push and manipulate and annoy them because, well, you're just trying to help them out to make them right, you see. But it's much better to be happy. It's much better to have good relationships with your coworkers than it is to force everybody to tell you that you're right, to force everybody to agree with you that you're right and that they're wrong. And if everybody stood up and said, oh, yes, you're right and we've been wrong, then you'd feel really, really great. But that isn't going to happen because everybody there feels that they're right and that you're wrong. Yeah. See? So it's just, that's not going to happen. That's why you're going to constantly be in a struggle. You think you're going to fix things by pushing and you know, yeah, I guess pushing's the good word, you know, pushing and manipulating and prying at people and keep complaining and arguing. And mostly that isn't going to make anything better at all. And if those people are all wrong, then you need to let them have the consequences of their choices. Well, they have to learn by making mistakes. So just let things work out. People will learn. you'll get along, you'll be happy, they'll be happier, people will learn from their mistakes. And if a mistake is made, that's not a terrible thing. You know, then don't jump on it and say, I told you so, because that will make them reject the lesson. If you just let it go and start picking up the pieces, then it'll work better. They'll learn from that. People learn from their mistakes. So that's the right attitude. And that's the attitude that brings us happiness. Is that attitude of acceptance is first. Then you get peace. With peace, you can be positive. With positiveness, you make friends rather than enemies. With positiveness, you get respect rather than annoy others. And then your life just gets better in all ways. So nobody's going to give us a wish. I guess that's a nice idea, you know, for us to think about, because it shows us right away that all our wants and needs tend to be things that are self-focused, self-centered, you know. But in the real world, if anything's going to change, it's going to be yourself. You know, if you change anything, I should put it that way, it's going to be yourself, because it's very difficult to change other people. All you do is make them angry when you try to change them, because they know that they're right and that you're not. And here you are pushing this wrongness at them, and the only thing they can do is push back. So yes. you get in that ego, you know, headbutting, and there is no winner in that. Even if you force everybody to do your way, say you are the big boss and everybody has to do it your way. They disagree with you, but you say, well, I'm the big boss and I get the final say, do it my way. Well, everybody may do it your way, but there's a cost, a really big cost. You just forced a bunch of people to do things that they think are wrong, and their respect for you goes down. Their opinion of your competence goes down. Their willingness to follow you goes down. Their willingness even to spend, you know, to work hard and to be creative and inventive and so on. All of that starts to dissipate. So yes, you get your way, but the cost is probably a lot larger than the gain. You have to work with people. Just bullying them because you have the position that allows you to bully them isn't helpful. So even if you had that wish that said, I could get my way and I could bully everybody else and make them do the right thing that I know is right, it wouldn't work. You see, all you do is create a lot of misery and dysfunction and unhappiness. And pretty soon all those people out there that you've been bullying would rebel and cause you more trouble. So even being in charge and having all the power, being the master of the universe, is not really the solution. That would just create more trouble. People have to grow up together. You can't force other people to grow up. So you just do your part, which is grow you up, and let them do as they will. If they don't grow up, well, then you deal with them gracefully and with caring. And if they do grow up, well, good. That'll help you grow up too. So, see, it's a win-win if you have the right perspective. Everybody always wins. And it's a lose-lose if you don't have the right perspective and everybody always loses. So which way would you like to live your life? You know, I think win-win is the better path to take rather than the lose-lose.
Okay, so in the spirit of this holiday season or Christmas season, I think we can say Christmas again. it's now politically correct. You know, there's so much energy that is available to us in the spirit of giving. So how do we use that energy then to assist us to, you know, create that peace within ourselves, or the grant that wish of peace or happiness or unconditional love? How do we use the energy best?
Well, I'd say we become aware of who we are. Let's become more aware of just who we are. Become aware if you say things that are correcting other people. You know, I won't say put other people down because you won't see it that way. Well, I'm not putting them down. I'm just giving them a little hint to help them out. I'm just helping them, you know, do the right thing. So if you find yourself correcting other people, know to take a note on that. That's generally arrogance. If you find yourself complaining, you know, complaining about the shopping, complaining about this, complaining about that, complaining about having to go to some Christmas party you don't want to go to, complaining, 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 take note of that and say, oh, okay, that's just my ego. That's my negativity. That's not good. I need to stop complaining. I need to stop instructing everybody else. You know, you have to, you know, I mean, sometimes instructing people, particularly if they're small children, is a thing you need to do. But if it's another adult, better to just let them be. Let them do it their way. Let that be okay. Accept that, even though you know a better way. Just let them do it their way. And if they're having trouble, well, wait until they come and ask you for help. Don't just say, here, you know, you don't seem to be able to do this. Let me do it for you. That's really a put down. It makes them feel inadequate, makes them feel less. You just might think you're helping out, but it makes them feel less. So just let people be. Let them do it their way. Let them learn from their own mistakes. Just be positive. So I'd say those are two things. If you tend to correct and quote unquote help other people by, you know, telling them what to do and how to do it, or suggesting how they might do it better, or how, you know, what they are doing is not as good as the way you would do it, just notice that and stop it. Cut it out. Let people be the way they are. Let people make their own mistakes. Now, if they come and ask you, okay, but just to kind of offer your superior services or offer your services because you know better or understand it better, it's not a good thing. Even if what you're doing is better, it's not a good thing. Let people be who they are and do things in their own way. And the thing about complaining, in the holiday season, there's a lot of complaining going on. There's a lot of complaining about things. Oh, you know, you didn't get that for the price, you know, the what is it, Evil Friday, Black Friday, something like that, you know, comes along and, you know, and the store only has three items that they put on at a, you know, 75% discount. And of course, there's 3,000 people that want those three items. And it's just a trick to get you, you know, to come into the store to thinking that you might get one of those when the probability is that you're not going to get one of those. And, you know, you have to just accept that that is the way that is. The store's trying to, you know, manipulate you to spend money in their store. Once they get you in the store, well, now there's so many other things that while you're there, you might as well pick up, you know, and you may find other things that you want to spend your money on. So, of course, understand that and realize that's the way it is. That's the way our life is. That's the way our marketing is. Don't get upset with it. So don't complain about it. Don't complain about other people being grabby and they got there first and somebody elbowed you at the table, you know, and don't complain and fuss about all that stuff. Just understand those are the way people are. So you deal with that in a positive way. We complain about parties. We complain. And then we go to parties. Of course, we have fun, but we complain about them a whole lot before we go. And then we complain about them afterwards. But generally, we have fun while we're there. But it's almost like we relish having things to complain about. So make a mental note this holiday season. If you find yourself complaining about something, just stop. Just, you know, zip your lips and don't go there. And don't think of it as changing your behavior. Think of it as changing who you are. You're not a person who complains. I can remember a saying that my parents told me. I grew up with this. And they say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. That was the phrase, which means if you can't be positive, then just be quiet. Let things be. So if you say things that are not positive, you're not giving a compliment, you're not, you know, saying something positive or being helpful in a positive way, then just don't say anything. Just watch. You don't have to say. And if you think you are being positive by helping that person do what it is they're just too incompetent to do, well, you have to notice that as well. That's not really being positive. It may get the job done quicker, but it makes them feel bad. Let them ask you for help or offer to help. Do you need any help there? That's positive. Not with sarcasm. Well, it looks like you need a little help there. What's the trouble? You know, that's not good. But if you ask them in a nice way, then give them an opportunity to ask for your help or not, rather than just butting in, grabbing the thing and fixing it, and then walking off feeling really good. Well, I fixed that, good for me. I made 5 other people feel inadequate, but that's their problem, not my problem. You know, I'm cool and I know it. I like to strut my knowledge or my this or my that. Just don't go there. Don't do that. So I'd say that if you just do those things, if you just say, I'm going to go from now until New Year's Day, and I'm not going to complain about anything. I'm not going to butt in and do things that make other people feel bad about themselves. I'm not going to help people that don't ask for it. You know, you see some little old lady wants to cross the street, ask her, could you use some help? And if she turns you down, then let her be. If she asks for help, then help her. So be available, but don't necessarily just grab that lady, hustle across the street, and she was just standing there waiting for her husband to come out of a store or something, and she didn't really want to go across the street. You know, you need to just think of other people and don't complain, don't push, don't instruct, don't teach unless they ask. So just those two things. I think that would change the holiday for a lot of people. And I think they would feel the difference. Suddenly the holiday would be lighter and there wouldn't be so much to complain about. Because every time you push somebody, every time you put somebody down a little bit, every time you make somebody feel bad, that somebody's going to push back in some way. Maybe not right then, but sooner or later, they're going to snap back. And then you'll snap back at them. And then the ego wars continue on and on and on. So that would be a good New Year's resolution to make before Christmas, all in this holiday time when there's going to be lots of people pressing your time. You know, well, do we go to this or go to that? And what are we going to do? Should we have people over to our house? Are we going to go to their house? But, you know, on the way to their house, don't complain about, well, you know, they always have this and that, and there's usually dirt on the floor and, you know, did you notice how that one room hasn't been painted for 3 years? And, you know, we start complaining and tearing things down and belittling people for no reason other than it makes us feel better to, you know, dump on other people. Well, I don't have a room half painted in my house, so I must be better off. I must be doing better. That's the byline for that. So just don't go there. And your life will be so much better that you'll actually want to do that after New Year's as well. So that's not that hard a thing to do, do you think, Laurie? I mean, just don't complain about anything. If you can't be positive and do something positive, then don't do anything at all. And be careful that you're being positive isn't making somebody else feel bad. Right. Ask first. If you're going to show somebody something or help somebody do something or correct the way somebody's doing something, oh, you're not carving that turkey right here. Let me show you how. You know, that's just not appreciated, even if you are a master carver. The first time carver have a go at it. Make a big mess, you know, chop everything to bits, but they'll learn something. And don't be, oh, look at that. What a terrible job. Just let it be. It's okay. Yeah. That's all right. You know, let it be whatever it is. Eat the turkey in little bits because that's the way it came out, and just don't complain about it. See, you don't have to be the one who knows. So I think that would be just a good thing for people to try to do.
And with that, I think, you know, each time one of those thoughts come up where you do want to complain, because let's face it, there's going to be times where the thought will come up. I mean, it would be a good way to examine what your fears are, because
yeah,
it's, you know, those are the times where you can kind of go, okay, wait a minute. I'm getting upset. I'm getting angry. I'm wanting to, you know, change somebody else. I mean, look at what those are. What are you complaining about? I mean, yeah. Certainly, unfortunately, we complain about a lot of really, really small things. I mean, who cares what a turkey looks like? Yeah. Right?
Unfortunately, you can eat it in any form, right?
Right. But it's like we pick these little things because, I don't know, they make it, what, do they make you feel better by saying, you know the right way? And it's silly in most of the things that we do when we're wanting to complain or change. It's usually silly things, or, you know, often when we get upset the most, it's because we know we've done something that we should be responsible for, like getting a stupid ticket, which may or may not be, you know, the road signs or, you know, somebody else's fault, but it doesn't really matter because we're upset because, you know, we were responsible. We're upset when, you know, we have a certain weight that we don't want to be at because we're responsible for that. It's not always easy to change. But we get upset.
You can't change until you accept that it's your responsibility.
Well, yeah.
You see, as long as you blame it on something else, oh, it's this holiday season, you know, I'm going to, you know, it's making me do this, you know, I'm putting on pounds because it's the hot. Well, we blame other things. And if you can't change that as long as you blame it on something else. When you say, that's my choice, now you can change it. You can make a different choice. But as long as you point the finger at somebody else and don't take responsibility for your own life, then you're stuck with it. You'll never change it. So yes, and you should be positive with yourself as well. You know, always being negative towards yourself is just as bad, if not worse, than always being negative to other people. You need to be positive to yourself and to everyone.
Well, I think we're usually negative to other people because we are so negative to ourselves. I think this is where, you know, that whole self-love, self-like, that whole dilemma that a whole bunch of people seem to get caught up with when you say, well, it's not really about self-love because that would be narcissistic.
Right.
But it's that point where we just, you know, our fears and usually get triggered because it's something within ourselves. Like it's something that we just can't accept within our, and that's it. We can't accept it.
Yeah. Well, if you dislike yourself,
right,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
You need to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, if yourself is not up to your standards, then change yourself. Be different. Don't just complain about it and go on, or try to hide it and go on behind an image. That's, again, not accepting it. That's like pretending it doesn't exist. You have to really accept it, own it, and then change it. You know, you do have to like yourself. If you don't like yourself, then change yourself until you do like yourself. You know, I mean, it's just that simple. And people say, oh, well, I am as I am. I can't change that. Well, that's nonsense. That's just you not taking responsibility. Somehow, you know, it's like, well, I can't change myself. Well, of course you can. You just have to want to enough. You have to seriously want to, so that you have an intent to, then you will. If you have that intent, it'll happen. If your intellect thinks that you should change, but at the being level, you're not committed to it, then nothing's ever going to happen other than you're going to complain. And then when people point out the flaw that you're not changing, you'll get angry, because they're pointing it out and you don't want to point it out to yourself. So, it's so easy to do it right, but it's so difficult to change. Yeah, but the key is to have a strong intent to change. I really do want to change myself. You will, just with that intent. If that intent's a serious intent, not a wish, not on the intellectual side, not part of your image, not one of your resolutions that you really plan never to do, just, but you make it anyway because it makes you feel better. Right. You're pretending that you're doing something about it. But if you really are serious about changing yourself, like getting rid of a fear, then you will, just by being focused on doing it. It's just that simple. The only times that you fail is when you're not really that serious about it. You only want to pretend that you're doing something about it, because doing something about it is hard work. And it takes courage. And you don't want to do the hard work, and you don't have the courage, so you pretend that you're doing something, but it never quite works. All right, I'm going to go on a diet, but first let me finish this box of cookies. I wouldn't want it to go to waste.
You know, wow, you've already blown that day. So we'll start again tomorrow. Right. Oh, well, okay. Well, we've blown the weekend, so we'll start again on Monday.
Yeah. And then it's just too hard. I just can't do it. You see, all these are just excuses, because it takes, you have to seriously want to do it. And you have to have commitment to that. And if you do, it'll happen. So if it doesn't happen, it's because...
It's just a mental thing versus an actual being thing.
Yeah. It's an attitude. It's the way we see ourselves. We want to see ourselves as wonderful and competent and whatever. And we do all kinds of stuff to make us pretend that that's the way we are. Mm. And we hide the stuff that we don't want to see, those fears. They're all hidden down there. And we don't really want to face them and say, I want to get rid of them, because we don't even want to admit that we have them. So if we don't have it, then how could we get rid of it? So we pretend. We do a lot of pretending, and that's our image. And that comes out of our intellect. Right. And we pretend that we can't do anything. Oh, I've tried, you know, and tried, and it just doesn't work. Just too hard for me. Well, so yeah, but we got to try, you know, and you need to take little steps. It's not like, well, this week I'm going to get rid of all my fears. That is just going to set yourself up for failure. That's too big a job to do in a week. Just doing something like, well, I'm going to try not to complain. No complaints shall come through my mouth, or no condescension, no, you know, kind of showing off my skill to other people. No more telling people how it is they need to be to do things better. That's, if you just do those two, you'll solve a whole lot of your problems, and you'll solve a lot of your relationship problems. A lot of relationships are like that. You know, that those two things dominate the relationship. The two people, each trying to fix the other one to be more the way they want, and they fix them by giving them little quips and help and telling them what they should be doing. And they also complain, a lot of complaining. Oh, you never listen to me. Oh, you know, always leave your underwear on the floor. Oh, you know, whatever it is, we just complain and complain, with the idea if we complain enough, they'll do it. They'll do what we want. But it works just the opposite. Mm. If somebody complains about your behavior, then you're less apt to do it, because that would be kind of admitting that they had value in that complaint. Well, we don't want to admit that, so we tell ourselves how right we are. Well, that's silly that everything should always be picked up all the time. You know, I'll pick it up at the end of the week. That's good enough. It's their problem if they can't deal with that. You know, so we blame it on somebody else. But most relationships are just full of each other correcting each other and each other complaining. Mm. And that just, that ego, those ego wars are lose-lose all the time. And it only takes one to stop. You can let the other one just continue on. That's okay. But if you stop, pretty soon they're going to look around and say, something's different here. And they'll start to stop too. So just by you stopping, they'll stop. And if they don't stop, well, say, that's just the way they are. Okay. It's not about me. It's about them. And if it's about them, then you can just let them be how they are and who they are. And the things they say and do won't bother you anymore. And you'll be positive, and they will become more positive as well over time, just because they're not always on defense. Yeah, you know, the best defense is an offense. So everybody is offensive because that's their best defense. And they're defensive because the other person is seen as being offensive, who's really just being defensive with an offense.
Right.
Ego wars. Yes. Yeah. Ego wars.
All right. So let's leave this on a nice positive place of using the energies of the season to
be better. Be better. Not just act better, but to be better. Take that and have an intent to be better. Take that energy. Take those opportunities. Take all those social interactions, because that's where we be not better, is in all those social interactions. That's where the complaining comes. So take that opportunity and all those social interactions to just be better. And you will be amazed at how much more fun you'll have.
All right. You've been listening to News of the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters with Tom Campbell. Check out his YouTube station, his website, My Big Toe. We have all the information. I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving and holiday season. And we'll be back next year. Wow. A new decade. All right. Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Lori.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.